Adam started it by deliberately doing what he knew was wrong. Noah got drunk in Genesis 9. Abraham lied about his wife, not once, but twice. He lacked faith in God's promise and ended up having a son that caused lots of heartache and anguish for his family. Moses fled Egypt as a murderer. He struck a rock later in his life and usurped some of God's glory. Peter denied our Lord after swearing that he wouldn't if the whole world did. And he later was reproved by Paul for pulling away from the Gentiles and being afraid of the Judaizers when they came to Antioch. I want to talk to you about how to handle failure. And also included in it, how we handle one another when we sin. And I want to tell you something, and I'm going to pick my way through this because I don't want to use any names or any locations. But this morning, in a church assembly, there was a young man, 24 years old, who had a wife that had a two-month-old child. He grew up in the Church of Christ. She grew up in the Church of Christ. They were married. Everything looked really good in their life. He was an exceptionally friendly young man, outgoing, good-looking, had the job of his dreams. And this morning, with his dad by his side, he walked in front of the church and confessed. It all started with talking to girls on the internet. And it was just a little flirting that turned into something very much different and became very inappropriate. And Friday morning early, the state troopers called his house and called his wife and told them that they were coming to her house. And they came and confiscated his computer, took all of his family pictures, took many of his very personal items, went through all of their clothes, closets, went through all of their drawers, looking for anything that they might use against him. He's out on bail this morning. And his dad walked down with him arm in arm as he tearfully confessed before the church what he had done, apologizing to the elders, apologizing for the harm that has come to the church as a result of this. It's now made the papers. At this point, he's out on bail. There is no way of knowing what all the consequences are. His wife's parents took her and the child and they left town. He is a fine young man. And I want to say to all of the young people here particularly, and not only to the young people, don't mess with that stuff. Sooner or later, it will become known. And it will not be in a way that is in any way pleasant. His life is destroyed. He can no longer be employed in what he has been employed in at this point. And everything he's worked for job-wise has been lost. There is no way of knowing at this point if his wife will come back to him or if she won't. The Spartans had a code that said, come back carrying your shield or own it. But it's hard to come back when somebody took your shield away from you. Or when you dropped it in battle and it was irretrievable. Or when it was stolen and you no longer have your shield. It's hard to come back. It would be easier to come back on it than without it. What do you do if you come back without your shield? What if you have failed miserably in your life? What if you have done something that has brought incredible shame on you and your family and all of your friends? Well, the first thing that you do is you accept the consequences. You, in a very crass way of saying it, you take your medicine. And you do not allow yourself to be ruled by the reaction of others. You can't control what other people will say, or what they will do, or what they think. And there will be scorn, and there will be criticism, and there will be I told you so's. But you don't have to let that control your life. The sideliners and the new recruits who've never known the feel, the sounds, the emotions of battle, they're your sharpest critics, the legalists. There are those who've never known the disappointment and the struggle of failure. And they're living in the barracks and they've decorated it quite well. And maybe some of them are living that way because they've secretly made peace with the enemy. And peace is usually desirable, but not with God's enemies, because you can't make peace with them. You can't make peace with a roaring lion, because he has but one intent, and he's stronger than you are. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God, James 4:4. But these people have all the answers. They know all the strategy. Everything is ideal. And so when you come home without your shield, you take it all. And then you evaluate what has happened here. Did you make mistakes that caused it to happen? Be realistic. Be honest. Judge rightly, because your future depends on it. And if the answer is yes, it was my fault, then admit it. We don't always have to have someone else to blame. Do what you can to make it right, but there are some wrongs you can't make right. And vow with God's help never to make that same mistake again. And maybe as you look at what's happened in your life, maybe the answer is no, it wasn't my fault. Maybe honestly, there was nothing that I could have done to avoid this. Remember Job. Not everything in this world is right and fair. Bad things do happen to good people. Difficulties come into the lives of people who are innocent. It's not always your fault. And then look at the real soldiers. I mean, they're the ones with the battle scars. They're the ones who will come to your aid if you let them, if you give them the opportunity. They're not the color guard. They're not the ones for show. They're the Pauls, who were Sauls. They're the ones who've made mistakes themselves. They're the ones who have the scars. They're the ones who, like Paul, constantly defend his apostleship, constantly have to defend his motives, constantly have to defend his actions when it's not right, when he shouldn't have to, and have to defend them against people that he shouldn't have had to defend them against, the people that he was laying his life down for. And they're the Peters. The Jerusalem rooster took his shield away and left him humbled, broken, maybe even fearful, certainly disappointed in himself. He felt the shame and the humiliation and the self-disgust of failure. It's your fault. And they're the Daniels, who at an advanced age of at least 80 years old was thrown into a lion's den. Not his fault. For doing, in fact, what was right. You see, God's real army is not made up of this world's heroes. And sometimes it may not even be made up of the church's heroes. And there's something important to keep in mind as you consider what to do when you failed. Remember, righteousness is more important than living. There is nothing in all of existence, in all of your lifetime, that's more important than righteousness, than doing what is right. God has demonstrated that repeatedly from the very beginning, all the way from Adam. And one of the most distressing, at least to me, and disturbing incidences recorded in the Bible, one that I don't like to read about, is found in Judges 19 and 20. You remember the story when the Levite went to get his concubine who had gone to her, back to her father's house? And he lodged in Gibeah. And Gibeah was in Benjamin's territory. It said that certain vile men came and demanded this man to be brought out so that they could molest him. It ended up that he sent his concubine out, and these vile men molested her until she died. And the next morning when he came out, she was laying at the door, and he tried to rouse her, and when she didn't rouse, she was dead. He put her on his animal and took her home and got a knife and cut her in 12 pieces and sent one piece each to each of the tribes. And the people were so distressed, they said, "There has nothing like this happened since we came out of Egypt. What does this mean?" And they came together. And the Levite told them the story of what had happened. They came to the tribe of Benjamin after the army had rallied, about 200,000. They came to Benjamin and said, "Turn these vile men over to us for punishment." Benjamin refused. Three battles took place in which over 65,000 men died in battle. What's the moral? Righteousness is more important than human life. There are many stories in the Bible. There's the story of the flood. What does it say? Righteousness is more important than life. We need to get that clear in our minds. We need to get it in our minds when we're young so that we don't make the kind of mistakes that this young man made this past week. And we say, "Well, I've evaluated the failure. Where do I go from here?" Go get another shield. As Winston Churchill is reported to have said, "Never, never, never quit." This young man was asked the question yesterday morning, "Are you suicidal?" And he said, I have hurt my wife's family enough without adding that to it. The only real failure in life occurs when you don't get up, when you won't get up. Don't allow criticism or past failures or self-disappointment to cause you to quit. Only those who die running the race will win. And you will win if you die running the race. Regardless of what people on the sideline may say or may not say, regardless of whether there's any encouragement or whether it's all discouragement, if you'll get back up and run the race, you'll win. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." You can be sure that your sins will find you out if you try to hide them. They will come into the light. But God is a righteous judge, and we need to develop the attitude that the Apostle Paul had when he said, "Now it's required that those who have been given a trust," and all of that phrase is a translation of the word steward. It's been required of stewards that they must prove faithful. "I care very little if I'm judged by you or any other human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what's hidden in darkness, and he will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." My task and your task in this life is to not have anything in the darkness, to live our lives in the light, on top of the table, not closeting sins, not thinking that I can get away with this because I've gotten away with it so many times. You can't, and you won't. Be sure that your sins will find you out. Satan will do anything that he possibly can to discourage you. He'll hit your family. He'll take your job. He'll take your pride. He'll put temptations because he knows what tempts you. He'll hit your friends. And with a Spartan code of honor, come home on your shield, are carrying it. I wonder how many good, brave warriors disappeared in disgrace into the desert to contemplate their failure until they took their own life because they couldn't go home. We are not a church where you can't come home. We are not a family where you can't come home. And God is not a father who won't let you come home. Regardless of what you've done in your life, God stands with his arms wide open. But it's really, really important that you come to him and that you confess the sin that's in your life. Maybe in some cases it was your fault and maybe sometimes it wasn't, but you lost your shield. You failed. Let's go get another one together. The Spartans, the world, may not give you another shield. They may send you away in disgrace. But God will, if you'll come to him while we stand and sing. man and his wife and his family. The Lord, you don't have to have a name. The Lord knows who he is. And so if you would just have a special prayer for this young man.